The following is a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 47, given by His Grace Sriman Sarkarsan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 30th, 2006, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, text number 47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmana shadhavan bhujate yomam saame yukta tamo matah. And of all yogis, the one who with great faith always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So, in student life and in professional life and in household life, how can you be a yogi? We normally think of a yogi as someone who sits on the bank of the Ganga, doing the asans, like that. That is our normal idea of yogi. Someone who merges the ingoing breaths with the outgoing breaths, who gradually comes to the stage known as samadhi. So if you're a student, or if you're a professional man, can you be a yogi at the same time? The answer is yes. If you follow the pathway of Sri Arjuna, he was not sitting on the sacred river doing asana. He was on the battlefield on his chariot, shooting arrows. What could be more high pressure? You think corporate Australia is high pressure. Just try the battlefield of Kurukshetra for 20 minutes. That's really intense. So Arjuna, he was situated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But he was completely peaceful because he was simply acting for Krishna. Yat karoshi yadas nasi yajjahosi dadasi yat yat tapasyashi kaunteya tat kadushva madarpanam. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So whether you're studying or whether you're working or whether you're taking care of the baby at home, you see, whatever you may be doing, you must learn the art of how to do that for Krishna. This is why one needs guru. This is why one needs the association of senior Vaishnavas. This is why one has to study the scripture. Because in this way, one can learn how to dovetail every thought, every word, and every deed with Krishna, Supreme Person. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. This bhakti yoga system, which is described in this verse by Sri Krishna as the topmost yoga system, this system is not difficult. It simply requires that one has proper guidance, that's all. Simply have to be trained. If you have the proper trainer and you follow the instructions given by the trainer, then you can easily attain it. You can become a perfect yogi, completely free from the influence of tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. Completely free from all the anxieties, the stress, the fear, the tension, the bewilderment, the devastation of material existence. Just like sometimes we are traveling all over the world for preaching this Krishna consciousness. My wife there, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, in the doorway, and I, we are traveling all over the world. And sometimes we go to the airport, it's a gray, nasty, dreary day. This kind of day you don't want to get out of bed in the morning, you know. Really horrible day, you know. Of course, we always get up anyway for Krishna. But you're sitting there in the airport, it's so horrible, you know, just depressing. But you get on the airplane, you break through the clouds, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, what is it? It's a beautiful sunny day. And that beautiful sunny day was there the whole time. You were just covered by the clouds, that's all. The sun wasn't covered by the clouds. You were covered by the clouds. What are those clouds? Rajagun, Sattvagun, Tamagun. These are covering clouds of the material nature. So, if you can take the proper airplane, you understand? If you can become situated on the airplane, in Sanskrit, vimana, you see. This is mantra vimana. This is a mantra airplane. This airplane will take you out of this material existence into that sweet transcendental existence. Do you think it's very, very far away? Actually, it's not. It's very, very close. Just like on the television set, imagine if there's two channels, channel A and channel B. Channel A is birth, death, old age, and disease. Channel B is eternity, knowledge, and belief. All you have to do is flip a channel. It's as simple as that. So why we don't do that? You know why we don't do that? We do not have faith. We keep going back to birth, death, old age, and disease, thinking, well, at least I know it's real. But you know something? It's not as real as eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The original reality is eternal knowledge and bliss. It is only the covered reality which is birth, death, old age, and disease. That is a covered reality, covered by the clouds. It's real, but it's only a subset of reality. You are seeing the sunlight also in the clouds. Some of the sunlight penetrates the cloud, but you're not seeing the full sunlight. You see. If you can take advantage of the bhakti yoga system, then you can experience the full light of God at every minute, wherever you are. Whether you're at home, whether you're at the mandir, whether you're at some program like this, whether you're at work, whether you're commuting, whether you're in line at the grocery store, wherever you may be. If you master the art known as bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness, you will never be touched by the material nature again. You will become completely transcendental to the influence of the material nature. Prabhupada explains that for a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, the material world ceases to exist. Does that mean he goes into a state of nothingness? That nothing exists, it just merges into a black hole? No. It means he learns to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna at every step, wherever he may go, in all times, places, and circumstances. That is perfection. Why? Do you know why you exist? Do you know why you exist? Does anyone know why they exist? That's the first thing we should be taught. Our parents should tell us why we exist, but they don't know, so they can't tell us. Our teachers should tell us why we exist. They don't know, so they cannot tell us. You see, we live in a world where not even one person knows why they exist. So how do you think we can have a sane human society when not even one person knows why they exist? It's crazy. It's crazy. We exist because the Lord wants to expand His loving network of relationships. They think they exist to make some squeaky noise. That is their pleasure. Listen. That shows you the state of condition that Melbourne is in. The municipal government is providing noise pollution for all the citizens. So, if we don't know why we exist, how can we have a meaningful existence? Not possible. And if you don't have a meaningful existence, you think your mind can be peaceful and happy. You wonder, why am I doing this? Just to keep my body alive? Why am I even living? You see? They don't tell you these things because they don't know. When I was a college kid, this was my question. Why should I work so hard? I mean, I was a good, you know, I made very good grades. I was one of the top students in the school, but still, I was wondering, what's the point of all this? Here I am studying hard so I can get a job, so I can get a house, and get a wife, and get some kids, so I can get old, and get sick, and die. Why? Why should I endeavor? But all I'm going to get at the end is a grave, 6 feet under the ground. Why should I endeavor? What's the point? You see, it didn't make any sense. Nobody could tell me why it was worth making any endeavor to do anything. Because the whole thing's going to be finished anyway. This is why a spiritual master is a necessity. We have to have a guru. Because the spiritual master enlightens us with transcendental knowledge. So I was very fortunate to come in contact with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And he enlightened me. He informed me that I'm not my body, that I'm eternal spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of the Supreme, and the purpose of my existence is to serve Him and love Him. He will be satisfied when I serve and love Him, and that will make me satisfied because I'm part of Him. When you water the root of the tree, the whole tree becomes nourished, becomes watered. So when you serve God, then you automatically become satisfied. So we're asking all of you, some of you are already practicing Krishna consciousness to a great extent, some to a lesser extent, some maybe just checking it out for the first time. How many are checking this out for the first time right tonight? Okay, very good. We welcome you very much. Thank you for coming. What we're introducing is something which is the most exciting and the most powerful knowledge that has ever been revealed in the history of the universe. This is the same exact knowledge that Krishna revealed to Arjuna 5,000 years ago. If this knowledge is put into practice in your student life, your professional life, or your home life, you will find that it completely transforms everything into a wonderful 24-hour-a-day festival of spiritual bliss that you can have even while you're out there earning money in a stressful corporate environment, dealing with the pressures of ordinary day-to-day existence. You can actually taste this spiritual bliss 24 hours a day. And it is centered around chanting the holy names of God on a regular daily basis. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We advise that before you, don't just get up in the morning, you know, throw something down your throat and run out the door to the office. Get up early in the morning. Go to bed as early as possible. You don't need that television when you get home at night. Just go to bed as early as possible and get up early and chant the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Every morning, chant these holy names. Absorb your mind in Krishna. And you will find that your whole day becomes very sweet and very wonderful, very enlivening, very satisfying, very fulfilling, very thrilling. A true adventure, actually. Every day becomes the most exciting adventure for one who takes complete shelter of the holy names every morning before leaving his apartment or his house. So we're asking you to join with us. We are all chanters here. How many people chant every morning before they go to work? Let's see a show of hands. Or school. Okay, we got maybe almost half of you. So the other half now you should also do. Chant Hare Krishna. Now, if you don't have beads yet, you should chant on your lips, but try to get those beads as soon as possible. Because while you're chanting on your lips, if you count on the beads, it gives more power, more shakti to the chanting. The beads, some people say, why the beads? They say it's in the way, but no, the beads give shakti. It's an ancient system coming down from the great gurus of India. The japa mala bead actually gives shakti to the chanting. It empowers, it gives more power to the chanting. So who here is in charge of distributing the beads? Who do they go to for beads?
Yeah,
who is the bead man?
Okay.
What is your name?
Nityananda.
Nityananda Prabhu here. You can approach him for japa mala beads. And he will get you all set up. He'll teach you how to use them. So everyone should have their own set of beads. Everyone should chant every day. At least for 15 minutes. When you're starting off, and then gradually you can increase it up to 1.5 to 2 hours every day of intense chanting on the beads. When you become advanced, you won't want to stop, actually. You want to go on for 5 or 6 hours, but 2 hours will just be warming up. You're starting to get into the nectar. But try it for every day at least 15 minutes, chant around the beads. That's 2 times around the beads, 15 minutes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you chant at that speed, you can complete 2 malas in 15 minutes. So, please take this up. How many of you have Bhagavad Gita as it is? How many of you don't? Yeah, so Nityananda Prabhu, you also have Bhagavad Gita as it is available?
Yeah.
Yes, so these 2 things I'm requesting. Everyone should have Bhagavad Gita as it is and Japa Mala beads. And Nityananda Prabhu here will take care of you, make sure you have these wonderful tools to awaken your dormant love of God that's there within your heart right now. So perhaps some of you have some questions. We'll be happy to try to answer them now.
Mm-hmm. We focus our entire bhakti on Krishna. So what is the Hare Ram part doing in it?
Because yes, Ram is also another name for Krishna.
Yeah.
Actually, Lord Ram also can refer to Ramachandra, Balaram, or also Parasuram. But also it refers to Krishna. Prabhupada explains that God is all attractive, therefore he is called Krishna, and he is also the supreme enjoyer, therefore he is called Ram. So actually, that is simply another way of describing the Supreme Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the supreme enjoyer, so he is Rama. Rama means enjoyer, you see. So it can be understood as referring to Krishna himself, to Lord Balaram, to Lord Ramachandra, or Lord Parasvam. Any one of those four can refer to any of them. And Hare refers to Shrimati Radharani. Or if you can refer to Sita Devi also. If you're chanting, thinking Ram is Ramachandra, then it's... So, questions more? Yeah.
What is the actual difference between the self-realization and the enlightenment?
What is the actual difference between the self-realization and enlightenment?
Yeah. If you're actually self-realized or you're actually enlightened, it's the same thing. There is actually three different levels of self-realization. Auspicious, more auspicious, and most auspicious. The auspicious self-realization is called Brahman realization. The more auspicious is called Paramatma realization, and the most auspicious is called Bhagavan realization. In Brahman realization, you realize that you're not your body, that you're spirit. But that's about all you realize. You realize that there's, you know, really, the real reality is spiritual, and you're one with that reality. You know, it's just like a, you know, a first grader. 1 + 1 = 2. And then you move higher up to Paramatma realization, and that's when you realize that there's actually the Lord is actually seated in the heart. Four-armed Vishnu is seated in your heart. He's between the atoms, he's within the atoms. That four-armed Vishnu is everywhere. So when you realize that four-armed Vishnu, that is Paramatma realization. But when you realize the original Lord from whom the four-armed Vishnu is expanded, and you realize where is his abode in the spiritual world, and you become qualified to go there, that is called Bhagavan realization. So, Krishna consciousness is Bhagavan realization. And that is the highest enlightenment, the highest form of self-realization. Does that answer your question? Okay, very good. Any other questions?
How can we improve our chanting?
The way to improve your chanting is to chant early in the morning. What time do you chant your rounds? Start your rounds every day.
Morning, 8.
What time?
8.
8? Yeah. The thing to do is go to bed early and get up early. Do you stay up late studying or what?
Studying.
Yeah. So the best time for homework is actually early in the morning. You go to bed early and do your study early in the morning and get more potency. You get up early in the morning and you chant on the beads and do your homework. And you'll find that your chanting is fantastic and your studies improve too. So late at night, there's different modes of nature that act in different times of the day. The late night is tamaguna, a time for intoxication and sleep. The early morning hours is a time for learning and spiritual enlightenment. If you study early in the morning and you chant early in the morning and study early in the morning, you'll find your mind is so focused and clear and you can learn things very easily and retain them also throughout the day. So the key to for improved quality is ride before the sunrise and chant as many rounds as you can before the sun comes up. Then your quality will go up 100 times, 1,000 times. You'll be amazed at the difference. You go, wow, if I'd only done this earlier. You see? One of my disciples, he's studying to be an accountant in India right now, a chartered accountant. And he was chanting, but he was getting up late. And finally I told him my last visit to India that you got to get up early. So now, he never thought he could do it, but finally he said, okay, my guru's ordered me to get up early, so now I'll do it on his order. And he's getting up every day, and he says, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, takes his bath, and then chants his rounds. He's amazed at the difference. You'll be, if you get up at 4 a.m., take bath, chant your rounds. You can always take a nap again after you finish your rounds if you're a little sleepy. If you get up early in the morning like that, you'll be amazed at what happens to the quality of your chanting. It'll just go through this, you just break right through the stratosphere into the spiritual sky. You'll be amazed. Any other questions? So, yes?
What's the difference between the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and other mantras?
Yes. There are many mantras, just like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There are many, many mantras, and they are all very nice, glorifying the Supreme Lord in His many names, forms, qualities, and pastimes. But this particular mantra is called Maha Mantra. This is the great chanting for deliverance. Of all the mantras, this is the king of all the mantras. The mantra, the benefit you can get from any other mantra, that benefit is already included in Hare Krishna mantra. Plus, Hare Krishna gives you even more benefit than any other mantra. So whatever mantra you like to chant, we encourage you, put it on the shelf for a while, put and chant Hare Krishna instead and compare the difference. You won't want to go back. You really try. You really compare them. See, out of sentiment, well, my grandmother taught me this mantra. You know, you got to go beyond sentiment if you want to become enlightened. You know, you got to be willing to cut through all sentiments and do what is the best thing for your spiritual progress. So, if you really make an open-minded experiment, you'll see the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than any other mantra. And therefore, you'll chant it and give up the other ones. We don't say it's the only mantra, but the scriptures say it's the most potent one. And since we can die at any time, it's good to get as advance as quickly as possible, just in case something happens while we're young. Of course, I'm not young, but I still think I am because I'm chanting Hare Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna every day, you will always feel as if you're a young person. Because you'll reconnect with your eternal spiritual nature.
I've got a question. Why does yogis leave their house, leave their wives and children away?
Yogis?
Yeah.
And a real yogi doesn't have. He completely. He doesn't have them. He gives them up. If he had one, he gives her up. He just walks away. If a real yogi. Maybe he never had one to begin with. He just never got married. But a real yogi has no connection with wife, children, family, society, nothing. He just goes to the mountains and stays forever. Never goes back.
But then, as you said, that God made all of us to spread the love. Then how do you spread love being all alone at mountains and near the rivers? And
that's the problem with that type of. That's the problem with that type of yoga. That's why bhakti yoga, the yoga of love, is better. Bhakti yoga system, you do everything for Krishna, with love for Krishna. You serve your husband for Krishna, you serve your wife for Krishna, you serve your kids for Krishna. Everything you do, you do that in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. So that means, how do I serve my wife for Krishna? Well, I bring her to the temple. Or how do I serve my husband for Krishna? I make sure that he's going to the temple, you see, to bow down before the Lord. So, this is much more practical system. This bhakti yoga system doesn't require you to give up your family, your job, your friends, and just go to the Himalayas, you see.
And that's the more difficult form of bhakti when you are among everybody and you remember him all the time, you know?
That is the highest yoga. If you can remain within the society and be completely transcendental to it, to all the nonsense that's going on around you, then you're definitely the highest yogi. That's right. So we will teach you how to be the highest yogi. That is our Krishna consciousness movement. We are training our members how to be the highest possible yogis.
Thank you.
Yes.
Stages of self-realization. One is auspicious, more auspicious, and most auspicious.
Yes.
Could you explain it, how it is auspicious, more auspicious, and most auspicious?
Yes.
And why?
Yes. The Brahman realization stage is auspicious because one realizes the eternity aspect of the Absolute Truth. The Paramatma stage is more auspicious because not only do you realize the eternity aspect, but you also realize the knowledge aspect of the Absolute Truth. But Bhagavan realization, Krishna consciousness, is most auspicious because not only do you realize the eternity aspect, and the knowledge aspect, you also realize the ananda aspect, the bliss aspect. What good is eternity and knowledge if there's no bliss? I challenge you on that point. What is the good of eternity and knowledge if there's no bliss? You see? If there's bliss, that's the most important thing. But you don't get that until you come to Bhagavan realization. The yogi isn't blissful. He's doing all those austerities in his cave. He gave up his wife and kids. He's out there in the cave. He's not blissful. You see? He's crying like that street curve. Why did I give everything up? Well, I got to keep doing my yoga.
So what brings the bliss?
Huh?
What brings the bliss?
Yes. What brings the bliss? What brings the bliss is love. Love of God. You see? When you love Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates that love with you. And when you love Krishna's devotees, who represent Him, and they reciprocate their love with you, as actually Krishna's love coming through them. You see? Then you feel the sweetest happiness. When you come to the point of actually loving God, and loving the devotees of God, then you taste a happiness which is so wonderful. It is so sweet. It is so relishable. It is so divine. That's why it is most auspicious. Does that answer your question in full? You're fully satisfied? All right. Very good. Anyone else?
How do you love God? By chanting His name?
There are many ways you can show your love for God. The first one is you should chant His name. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridarvatam. Always chanting my glories. He is saying like that. Krishna is very, very pleased when you chant His name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram,
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Now what does love mean? It means you have to please your beloved, doesn't it? If you love someone, you want to please them. You don't want to make them angry or disturb their mind. You want to do that which is pleasing to them. What kind of a hellish thing is this? Like something out of a horror movie, you know? Yeah, it's like India. Yeah. Worse than India. Yeah. As far as noise pollution. Yeah, so if you actually love someone, that means you want to please them. So you say, well, how do I please Krishna then? Well, he tells in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, whatever you eat, you must first offer it to me. He says that in chapter 3 of the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 9, he says, you should always chant my glories. In chapter 9 also, he says, you should bow down to me. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. In chapter 10, he says, you should always talk about me. So if you simply take the... In chapter 4, he says, you approach my representative, the Guru. And take instructions from the spiritual master. Serve the spiritual master. Inquire from him. So Krishna is giving so many wonderful instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. If you will simply carefully read Bhagavad Gita, you have a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is?
I have the other one.
You need to get as it is, because the other ones always kind of leave it still a little bit unclear. This Bhagavad Gita, it fully shines, all the clouds are gone, and you really know what the Bhagavad Gita is. You got to get this from Nityananda Prabhu. So, If you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, and mold your life according to the instructions given in this most wonderful of all books, then your love of God will fully awaken. You'll be the happiest woman in the whole universe, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. If not, we'll give you $10,000 cash. So you can't lose. Either you become a pure devotee of God or you become $10,000 richer. There's no, you won't lose anything. So you try this Krishna consciousness. Yeah.
Can you elaborate on do's and don'ts of the chanting?
Do's and don'ts. You want to know what they are?
Yeah.
The do is you must chant every day on the beads. Hare Krishna mantra. Build up your strength to where you can do at least 16 rounds every day. The do nots, well, can't eat meat. That's a very sinful thing. The animals are very dear to the Lord. You should not eat any meat, fish, or eggs. That's forbidden for the Lord's devotees to eat meat, fish, or eggs. You shouldn't take any intoxications like coffee, tea, cigarettes. Tea may be tough. Most Indians are addicted to tea, isn't it? Chai. I know, I visit India. I know how addicted you are to tea. But you need to cut down on it and start taking herbal tea, which is okay. And gradually, you don't need, see, it, actually the medical profession has revealed that tea is bad for the health because it overstimulates the adrenal gland. That's where you get the energy. You're not getting it from the tea, you're getting it from your adrenal gland. It's releasing adrenaline into your system artificially, is what's happening. And what's happening is you're actually ruining your adrenal gland by drinking tea. So the thing is, non-caffeinated is okay, but don't take caffeine products. Whether it's Coca-Cola, coffee, or tea. Caffeine is not good for you. If you will chant Hare Krishna, you will get more energy from the mantra than you get from the caffeine anyway. So you just need to chant Hare Krishna every day and let that be your morning cup of tea, you see. So, yeah, no coffee, tea, or cigarettes. And then we use sex life not outside of marriage. And then we don't gamble also. We don't waste money on the horses or the lottery tickets. You're just throwing your money away. Give that money to the temple. If you want to gamble, throw some money away, then go give it to Krishna. And if there's no gamble there, you'll come back a million times in many different ways. Whatever money you give to Krishna, it comes back at least 1 million times in so many varieties of ways. So give to Krishna. Don't give to the lottery or the horse gambling. You see. So in this way, if you follow these do's and do nots, under the guidance of the Guru, the Vaishnavas, and the scripture, then you will become a very highly advanced, enlightened spiritual being. Very quickly. We guarantee you. Yeah. Are you chanting on the beads yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So continue in this way. And if you any of you would like to have my... If you're feeling a little inspired by these words and you would like to have some personal guidance from me, you can arrange with my my secretary here in Melbourne is Bharat. You can arrange with him a meeting with me if you want to have a private meeting. And also, if you would like to subscribe for my free e-course, you go to www.backhome.com backtohome.com It's like back to home, back to Godhead. backtohome.com And you go there, you give your name and email address, and you start getting every day something called Thought for the Day and a weekly lesson as well. And we have over 5,000 people in over 100 countries and all over the world. People are relishing this daily reminders about Krishna consciousness. At home or at work, they get to their computer. The first thing they do is they read Thought for the Day, and that gets them on the right track for the day.
Over 5,000 is in English only, but then it's translated in other languages also.
Yes. We have that's the English list. We have a growing list now. We have a Spanish list now coming up. People are signing up on a Spanish list we have. We have translators putting it into French language now, our writings. And now in Poland they've requested, can they translate into Polish language? So it's getting out there. What we're doing is attracting a lot of attention around the world, because people appreciate these words of wisdom coming from Krishna conscious philosophy. So any other questions?
Just one question. How do I know that Krishna is pleased with me?
Yes. How do we know that Krishna is pleased? Because he's so far away, how do I know whether I pleased him or not? Maybe he got angry at what I did, and I didn't. Maybe I thought he was pleased. Maybe he was really angry. Or maybe I thought he was angry and he was really pleased. How will I really know? Well, you know, the easy way is, do you work a corporate job? Yes. Now, your duty is to please the CEO, isn't it? How do you know when the CEO is pleased? Do you have to hear it directly from him? How do you know?
He will just inform me through an email or send in...
The CEO directly monitors your personal work?
No.
Right.
So he'll tell my manager or...
Exactly,
somebody.
That's the point. You have a direct manager who reports to his manager, who reports to his manager, who reports to the CEO, right? So, if you please your direct manager, you see, then he is pleased and his manager is pleased, and all the guys under this manager. In this way, you please the CEO by pleasing your direct manager. So, the answer is by pleasing your spiritual master, by pleasing your Guru Maharaj, who represents Krishna, just like your department head, your manager. By pleasing your Guru Maharaj, then you know that Krishna is pleased. It's a very simple thing. That's why everyone should seek out a spiritual master and become dedicated to engaging in Krishna consciousness under his direction. Because by that direction, then one will know, by pleasing my Guru, then I am pleasing Krishna. It's a very simple thing. If Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. That's all you have to do. That prayer is sung every morning in the temple. Yasha prasadat bhagavat prasado. Yasha prasada nagati kutopi dayam stuvam tatasya risanjam vande goroshi charanadavindam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one makes spiritual advancement. Without his grace, one cannot make any advancement. So by pleasing the spiritual master, we are pleasing Krishna, and therefore we make spiritual progress by pleasing the spiritual master. So it's very important to take shelter of Guru and senior Vaishnavas. By pleasing them, we can know that Krishna is pleased. Just like here you have a temple president and senior devotees. We simply have to please the sadhus, the senior devotees, and the spiritual master by our service. And then we know that we're properly situated, that Krishna is pleased. Any other question? Yes.
Prabhuji, many of us have been budding stage of, you know, learning Krishna consciousness, and once they reach to 16 rounds, the next step is to go to Guru Ashraya. So somebody might ask how to choose Guru.
Yes. Many times we have this question, how does one choose Guru? Actually, when you are ready for the Guru, when you're fully ready to surrender, you won't have to go looking for one. Krishna will send him to you. Actually. And Krishna within the heart will tell you, this here he is, this is him. You just met him. You're wondering how you will attain me. Now I have sent my representative, the bona fide spiritual master. So now here he is. Now you just surrender to him, that's all. So it's a very simple thing. When you're fully ready to take complete shelter of Krishna and fully surrender to him, then he will send the Guru to you and he'll tell you, okay, here he is. Now surrender. That simple. Yes.
Sometimes people say, you know, whatever we do is already destined. So if we come to the temple, it is destined.
Yes.
If we're not coming to the temple, that is also destined.
Yes, yes. Some people... Yes, a madman can say anything and a goat can eat anything. The law, of course, they have some idea of the law of karma, and that's good. But they don't realize that there's two energies. According to karma chakra, everything is destined. That's a fact. However, the living entity has the free will to come out of karma chakra at any time, according to his own desire. You see. So going to the temple, that is coming out of karma chakra. The living entity has the power to decide, now I will go to the temple. That does not depend on karma. It simply depends on desire. It is not predestined. It is when you want to go. You can change your destiny right now by going to the temple and bowing down before the Lord. You have the power to alter your own destiny by saying, okay, I don't want birth, death, old age. I am destined, by the law of karma, I am destined to go through birth, death, old age, and disease for millions of lifetimes. I don't want to do that. I want to change my destiny. Therefore, I will go to the temple, I'll bow down in front of the Lord, and I'll say, my dear Lord, I'm now your eternal servant. Please engage me as you like, and I will mean it. You see? Now I will take you out of karma chakra. So by destiny, we are meant to rot in this material existence. But if you're not happy with that destiny, then you simply make a decision. I now will go to the temple, bow down to the Lord, and offer myself as His humble servant. And that will take you. That decision will take you out of karma chakra, out of the wheel of destiny. Now you take your destiny in your own hands by going to the temple and bowing down before the Lord. Is that all right? Yes.
Maharaj, which one is more powerful, karma yoga or bhakti yoga?
Yes. Actually, karma yoga is a preliminary stage of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the perfection. Karma yoga means, of course, nowadays in India, everyone calls it karma yoga, but actually it's just karma. They say, you know, I'm a karma yogi because I go to work every day. Now, karma yoga means when you offer the fruit of that work to Krishna. When you actually offer it to Him, you spend every penny for Krishna, then it's karma yoga. Otherwise, it's just karma. So, karma yoga means, it's a very wonderful thing. It's a beginning stage of bhakti yoga. It means I have a tendency to act in a certain way and I don't want to give that up. I'll keep acting in the way that I'm accustomed to and I like to act, but I offer the result of Krishna. But the bhakti yogi, he can act in any way. He's completely flexible. He can do anything at all for Krishna, whether it's his propensity or not. You see, he can do anything, whatever his spiritual master asks him, he can do it without any hesitation. No, not a question, well, I don't like to do that, or, you know, my nature is to do this. As long as you're thinking, my nature is to do this, and therefore I will only serve Krishna in that particular way, that is karma yoga. But when you're willing to rise beyond your karmic nature and do anything and everything to please Guru and Krishna, then you're a pure bhakti yogi.
That means one will automatically become bhakti yogi once he's doing karma yoga.
That's right. Karma yoga will take you to bhakti. Because by offering the fruit of your work to Krishna, that purifies you. And gradually, you'll become a pure bhakti yogi by doing karma yoga. That's right.
So when in normal life we are chanting Maha Mantra, so are we doing bhakti yoga? Or
yes, it is bhakti. Chanting Hare Krishna is bhakti yoga.
What about our normal, you know, day-to-day activities that we do?
If you're very attached, then it is, I have to do this. I can't give this up for any reason. I'm attached to this. Then it's karma yoga. But if you're giving the result of Krishna, it's karma yoga. But if you fully surrender to Guru, and the Guru says, okay, I want you to stay at your job, then it's bhakti yoga. You see? If you fully surrender to spiritual master, and Guru Maharaj, I'll do whatever you tell me. You tell me to go to the Himalayas, I go to the Himalayas. You tell me to go to the Vrindavan just chant on the bank of the Jamuna the rest of my life. Whatever you tell me, I would. He says, okay, go back to XYZ Corporation and work your way up the corporate ladder. You see? And that's Guru Seva. That's Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga. As long as you have a material attachment to act in a certain way and you're offering the result to Krishna, that is Karma Yoga. But when you do the same activity under the direction of your spiritual master without any attachment, that's pure Bhakti Yoga.
What about if we are doing some activities without any attachment, without spiritual guru?
Then you're deluding yourself, because actually you're very attached, let's face it. This is one of the delusions. Yes, I'm acting completely without attachment. And we can test it. All right. Say, yes, I go to my work every day, I'm completely without any attachments. Okay, I'll test it. We make an arrangement with the company, and then it comes time for the paycheck, and you open your envelope, and guess what's printed on the check? Zero. Will you keep going to work?
Then the Karma Yoga will say, like, you have to fight for the things.
No, would you keep reporting to work if they stop paying you? Would you?
No.
Right. So you are attached to the result. You can't.
I'm not attached to the result, but certainly I'm doing my activities for Krishna, so probably one more activity will arise with that activity saying me.
If the activities are purely being offered to Krishna, and then that is perfect detachment. It's like Arjuna. He didn't give up his career as a military man. On the order of Krishna, he did that and he offered the result to Krishna. So my disciples who are working in professional fields, I don't tell them to quit their job. I say, do your job, spend all the money in a Krishna conscious way. You have to make your home and home life in like an ashram, where you're doing everything in a very Krishna conscious way. Whatever excess money, you give that to the temple, and whatever you need for your maintenance and for your savings, you must manage it in a proper Krishna conscious way, just like you're living in an ashram. Not that you waste your money on Bollywood movies and things like that. You see, to divert the mind away from Krishna. You have to be very strict.
There is something called anasakt, like indifferent. So whatever you do, like, you're not happy, you're not sad. So even if you are watching a movie, isn't that like something you are getting away from something? You're saying this is bad, that's why I'm not going to do this. As far as my knowledge is, it's saying like you should be indifferent. Even if you are watching a movie, you should become indifferent. I understand it's quite difficult to grasp.
If you want to actually be properly situated in spiritual perfection, you have to follow the instructions of Krishna. He said, engage your mind always in thinking of me. He doesn't say sit and watch Bollywood movies with detachment.
But he's also saying somewhere, I understand, like, you should be indifferent in whatever you're doing because you are attached to me.
You have to take all the instructions. That's a fact, but that's, you can't take that out of context. That this instruction I like very much, and I'll take this, and this one I don't like. You know what that's called? Half-hand logic. Ardha kukuti nyaya. You know the story of the farmer? He had a hen. The hen laid very nice eggs. Yes. But it was also, the hen ate a lot also. So the farmer thought, well, this end of the hen that lays the eggs, it is very nice. But this end of the hand that eats big, oh, I don't like that end. So I have a very good idea. I will cut off the head of the hen. You see? So it says, well, I like, when Krishna says to be detached, I like that very much. But when he says you should always think about me, that I don't like. No. I will cut that one off and just take this one. He says, satatam kirtiyanto mam. Always chanting my glories. He says, much chitta madgita prana. When the devotees engage themselves constantly in talking about me and hearing about me. He says that in chapter 10. Those instructions I don't like, because I enjoy watching the Bollywood movies, so I'm going to watch them with detachment. And that way I'll be a great yogi. No, you're disobeying Krishna's instructions. The devotees always hear and chant Krishna's names. They always hear and discuss the transcendental name, fame, form, qualities, entourage, paraphernalia, and pastimes of that supreme, beautiful Lord who is attracting everyone to come and join the spiritual world by the sound of his flute. So don't be like the farmer who cut off the head of the chicken. You see.
So what's our position like for a very normal man like me? I'm chanting some Maha Mantra as well, and I'm doing normal activities as well.
Yeah.
But I'm coming to temple every Saturday. But as I said, I don't have any spiritual guru at this moment. I'm listening to you, but I don't think that way you're becoming my guru.
Right.
Even though temporarily I'm listening to you with full faith. So what is my position
right now? You're still you're called neophyte. Yes, beginner.
Neophyte
means beginner. There are different stages. There is Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and then on up to Krishna Prem. You are on the second stage called Sadhu Sangha. Guru, that's the third. When you accept Guru, that's the third stage, Bhajana Kriya. So you're doing nicely. You have some faith, that's why you're coming to associate. So you have come to the second stage, and that's very good. So continue doing what you're doing now, and then gradually, you will become inspired to move to the next stage. You'll find that the right situation will finally come. It hasn't. The time is not now. That's a fact. For you, it's not the time now. It's not the time yet. So you continue associating with devotees, continue to try to develop your faith more and more in this process, and then you'll finally come to the stage of Bhajana Kriya where you want to have a spiritual master, and you'll do that, you'll take one. So you can advance even further along the pathway. Guru is accepted for the sake of advancing more quickly. One becomes very greedy for spiritual advancement. Then one is very happy to accept a spiritual master, because that's how you make very rapid advancement in spiritual life. But if you're not really sure, you're thinking, well, a little spiritual advancement's good, but not too much. You're not ready for a guru yet, you see. Some spiritual advancement is good, but I don't want to get into it too much. I want to focus on material advancement, you see. But actually, the Sri Yashopanishad says, vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo bayam saha avidyayamritam tirtva vidyayamritam ashnute. Only that person who can cultivate transcendental knowledge and nescience, and mundane knowledge side by side, only that person can escape the cycle of birth and death and achieve the full blessings of immortality. So according to Vedic wisdom, you have, along with cultivating the material side, you must cultivate the spiritual side. The train runs on two tracks, not one track. There's two rails on the train track. So you have to cultivate, along with nescience, you must cultivate your Krishna consciousness very nicely. Questions more? Yeah.
Why every time we call Krishna as a great politician?
Yes. Krishna is the greatest everything. He's the greatest the greatest jokester. He's the greatest flute player. He's the greatest attractor of women. I mean, he's the greatest everything. He's the supreme. There's no politician greater than Krishna. No one can outdo. Even in cheating, Krishna is the supreme cheater. He says in Bhagavad Gita. So whatever, in all fields, Krishna is the number one. You can't defeat him in any field. Whether it's politics or even sports. Who can lift Govardhan Hill, their little finger? Are you that strong? You know when Krishna came into Mathura? You know that King Kamsa that was wanted to kill Krishna? You know? The story? Yes. So Kamsa, he had his washerman. And the washerman had all the laundry of the king. It's very important, the king's clothing. So Krishna, he saw the washerman with the king's clothing. And he said, he was thinking, oh, these are pretty nice looking clothes. And all my cowherd boyfriends are here. He said, you give us that clothing. He ordered the washerman. The washerman said, what do you think you're doing? This belongs to the king. Started chastising Krishna. You know what Krishna did? He took his hand and cut off his head. So Krishna is the supreme everything. He's the supreme karate expert also. He's the supreme everything. You don't want to mess with Krishna. You can't beat him, join him. Yes. Next question. Okay.
Krishna is one God.
Yes.
So there are so many different religions, like Swami Narayan and others.
Yes, yes, yes.
They also...
Religion is one. Any genuine religion must come to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether they call Him Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, or Rama. There is one Supreme... or Narayan. There is one Supreme Personality of Godhead. And any genuine religious system will come to that Supreme God. Any other questions?
What's the role of guru in a bhakti, and what's the quality should have in a guru? What's the
qualities of a guru, and what is the role of guru?
Yes.
Bhakti?
Yes. The qualities of the spiritual master are described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The spiritual master is like a rain cloud who brings the mercy of Krishna to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence within the heart of his disciples. That is the first symptom of the spiritual master. He extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence that is burning in the heart. That is the first sign of bona fide spiritual master. And there are many others as well. But that is the first test. Does this personality, does he extinguish the blazing fire of material existence that is burning in my heart? You see, you can find a person who can do that, who's repeating the Vedic wisdom as it is. Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. It is described in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tadviganartam Saguru Meva Bhikatchat Samit Panihi Shrotiyam Brahmanishtam. The spiritual master is that person who has heard the Vedic wisdom and who is and repeats the Vedic wisdom purely as he has heard it and who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. Brahmanishtam. So that is the symptom of bona fide spiritual master. He has heard the Vedic wisdom. He extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence by drowning us, by dousing us with that Vedic wisdom, you see. Does that answer your question?
Second part, what is the role of guru in the bhakti?
The role of guru is, he takes a disciple, he saves the spiritual, the disciple. The guru saves the disciple from his repetition of birth and death. He instructs the disciple in such a way that the disciple will not take birth again in this material world. That is his role. He is to make sure the disciple does not take birth again. That's his role. Yeah.
Isn't that also that without the guru, there is no bhakti also?
Yes. Krishna says, if you claim to be my devotee, he says this in the Adi Purana. This is authoritative scripture. Speaking to Arjuna, he says, if you are my devotee, forget it, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So according to Krishna, we have to approach him through the medium of Guru. That's how we approach, not directly. Krishna wants to see, Prabhupada always quoted the English maxim, if you love me, love my dog. So he said, Guru, he is the dog of God. So if you want to approach God, you must approach Him through the medium of Guru. Other question? In the back there.
As we all know that the Krishna is an avatar came from the Vishnu, Lord Vishnu.
We all know that Krishna is the avatar coming from Lord Vishnu.
Yeah, that's what you have learned so far. That's right.
But we only pray for the Krishna. We only seek for the only Krishna's greatness. Why not for the Lord Vishnu?
Actually, Vishnu is a category. There are thousands and millions of Vishnus. Do you know them? Vishnu is a category. Vishnu Tattva. There are thousands and millions of different Vishnus. Krishna, Ram, Narayan, Nrisimha, Vamana, Matsya, Kurma, Kalki, etc., etc. These are all Vishnus. The personality of Godhead is Vishnu in his many different forms. Of all these different thousands and millions of Vishnus, there is one Vishnu that is the original Vishnu, and his name is Krishna. So Krishna is Vishnu and Vishnu is Krishna. They're the same person. In fact, you may think of Vishnu as the four-armed Vishnu, right? Yes. So that four-armed Vishnu, he is involved with managerial affairs. He has the club and he has the disc for curbing down the demons, you see? So he has some managerial function in this material existence. So, just like a man, he at the office, just like a very good example, a policeman. When he's on duty, he has his uniform, he has his gun, he has his hat. He's very, when you see him like that, you make sure you're not doing anything wrong. You see? But then when he goes home, he takes off his uniform, he's sitting there in his shorts with his t-shirt on. It's the same person, but the mood is completely different, isn't it? You feel very relaxed. If you remember, you're his friend, but if you saw him on duty, you might be a little nervous. Am I speeding? Uh-oh, watch out. You see? So, when God is at home, or let's say this way, when God is at the office, doing his official duties, that is Vishnu. But when God has no duties to perform, when he's simply enjoying at home with his intimate family members, that is Krishna. So it's the same person engaged in different activities. That's all. God at the office and God at home. So it is still the same Vishnu. When Krishna has the four arms and he engages in all kinds of managerial responsibilities, cosmic management, he is called Vishnu. That's all. And when he's at home relaxed, playing on his flute for his girlfriend, you see? He's Krishna. Yeah, he's the same person, just in different moods, that's all. But I tell you, the sweetest mood is when he's at home. That's the sweetest mood. Would you rather meet your friend when he's a traffic cop on duty with his radar detector? Or would you rather meet him, because he it's his duty, he has to write you a ticket if you were speeding, even though he's your next door neighbor? Or would you rather sit around in the evening eating popcorn, you know, Krishna Prasadam popcorn? You know? What would you prefer? So Krishna is the intimate God in his intimate feature. And Vishnu is God in his more formal feature. You see? They're both the same person. But Krishna is the original nature of God. That intimate nature. Yeah. So now the questions are coming more and more. You all are warming up. Good. All right.
You are a disciple of the Chaitanya Prabhu, isn't it?
Where is this philosophy taken from? What is it?
He's asking if you are a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He's asking if you are a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Disciple? Yes, we are Chaitanya's followers. Huh?
Followers, not disciples.
Yes, we are Lord Chaitanya's disciples. Yes, so this movement, we are all the disciples of Lord Chaitanya. Yes.
He was talking that Krishna and Krishna is the same.
Now you're competing with a streetcar. Okay. Yeah?
He was saying that Krishna and Krishna is the same.
Christ is a name. The word Christ is a word in English language. It comes from the Greek word, which is Christos. You may be surprised to hear, but actually the Greek Empire was started by a king who was the son of an Indian king. Maharaj Tejasi sent his two sons or grandsons to Greek and Roman areas of the world to start those dynasties. So actually the Greek culture comes from India. So just like in Greek it is said Christos, in Sanskrit it is said Krista. And Krista is another way of saying Krishna.
So did he talk any time about Muslim?
Huh?
Did he talk any time about Muslims or Jewish?
Did he talk about Muslims?
Who?
Jewish.
Who's he?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He debated with the Muslims and convinced them to join his movement. Lord Chaitanya spoke with, he converted the Muslims to following his movement. You know the Chankazi? Who was the Muslim magistrate in Navadvip? He was putting hindrance to the Sankirtan movement. When they were doing the chanting like this, he came in, they had clay, this is not clay, but they had a clay madanga. So the Qazi or his men, they came and they smashed that madanga and said, if you continue this Hare Krishna chanting, we will force you all to become Muslims. In those days, if you even throw a Muslim, even threw water on a Hindu, the Hindu rules were so strict, that Hindu was immediately rejected by all the Hindus and he had no choice to become a Muslim. All the Muslim had to do was throw water on you and your Hindu culture was finished. So they were very frightened. They said, we will force you to become Muslims if you don't stop this Hare Krishna Kirtan. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, we will march on the house of the Qazi. He got 100,000 devotees. And with big, huge Sankirtan, they went to the house of Chankazi. He was so scared, he hid under the bed. But actually, Lord Nrisimhadev had helped out because he had had a dream. Lord Nrisimhadev was ripping his chest open and telling him he better not stop, he better not mess with the Sankirtan movement. So when Lord Chaitanya came, he was a little receptive. Because he was very fearful from that dream. And he allowed the Sankirtan movement to go on. And he became a follower of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even now, if you go to Navadvip, to Mayapur Dham, Nadia district, you will see that the tomb of the Qazi is worshipped by the devotees of the Lord. He is honored as a great saint. So yes, Lord Chaitanya, he defeated the Muslims and made them his followers.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Do you believe that Jesus Christ was Son of God?
Actually, who is not the Son of God?
Yes, we are all form of God.
Everyone is Son of God, but Lord Jesus was very special Son of God because he was fully dedicated to preaching the glories of God to everyone. So he's very special Son of God.
Yes, as you were means, he went to Krishna through all his qualities. He reached Krishna through his qualities.
He reached Krishna.
Reached?
All, yes.
He reached Krishna.
Krishna with all his qualities.
Preached or reached?
Reached.
Back to God. Yes, Lord Jesus certainly attained the spiritual world. Yeah.
Lord Jesus was a devotee?
Huh?
Lord Jesus was a devotee?
Yes, Lord Jesus Christ was a Vaishnava, actually. He went to India during the ages of 12 and 30, when the Bible doesn't talk about that period, but he went to India, he had the darshan of Lord Jagannath. It's described in the Aquarian Gospel how he had Jagannath darshan. He picked up the cities from the yogis and he learned how to walk on water and things like that when he was in India. So he taught very elementary. The Israelis were not very high-level philosophers, so he taught some basic elementary principles to them. And just for what little bit he told them, they crucified him. So you can understand, if you told them about, you know, Bhagavatam philosophy, how heavy they would have been. Just from the ABC level, they crucified him. He was a great Vaishnava, but he preached according to the audience at that time, who were very less intelligent. When Jesus comes back again, the second coming, he will join the Hare Krishna movement.
That's what they are looking for.
Maybe he already joined. Maybe he's here and undercover.
He might be me. Huh? I'm just joking.
It might be me.
Might be you. We have to see your saintly qualities.
I think my eyes just ready.
All right. Any other question? Yes.
As you told this, that if he is on second stage of bhakti.
Let's see here. Speak that again.
As you told this, that he is on the second stage of bhakti.
Yeah, that's Sadhu Sangha. That's right.
The first stage is guru. So are you sure that if he has more bhakti, then guru is sent by Krishna?
Yes, when he's ready to surrender to Guru, then Krishna will arrange for him to meet Guru. Yes, when he's ready, and he'll know this is him. When he's come to that point, that will happen. That's right.
And what is the fourth stage?
Fourth stage is called Anartha Nivritti. That's where all the dirt becomes cleaned out of the heart.
And the last stage?
No, there's many stages after that. The next stage is nishta, when you become solidly fixed in bhakti, nishta. And the stage after that is ruchi, where the taste of the name becomes so sweet that the universe can't contain. There's more sweetness in that name than the whole universe can even contain. That is called ruchi stage. And then there is the stage of asakti, where you become absolutely addictive. You become totally addicted to the name. And there are stages beyond that as well. Any other questions?
Prabhuji, you know, sometimes when we are asked, what is the final culmination of Krishna consciousness? You know, we say, you know, that the devotee develops love for Krishna and he goes to the Krishna loka. So when the new audience hear that, they cannot understand that what the soul will be doing there. I mean, how he will be active, or what will happen to him? If you can please,
it will be a festival of unlimited delight, taking prasadam, chanting Hare Krishna, swimming in the river Jamuna with the devotees, unlimited pleasure pastime, just like Krishna and the cowherd boys, Krishna and the gopis. Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, all these activities you read about in the Krishna book, they are a little sample of what it's like in the spiritual world. All you have to do is read the Krishna book, Vrindavan Pastimes of Krishna, and you get an idea of what it's like in the spiritual world. But there's beautiful flowers everywhere, beautiful trees, delicious fruits, wonderful cows giving unlimited quantities of the most heavenly milk you've ever had in your whole life. Everything is simply enjoyment. But it's all for Krishna's pleasure. All right then. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai.